Greetings, this is David, and this is a first Full Room podcast, responding to many requests that have been coming my way for a while now. And I have been thinking and mulling over and even consulting with some people what would be a fitting subject to kick off this intended series of podcasts. And one has indeed been persistently rearing its head in recent days. And the subject is the case with stress. And it comes in four parts. Part one, an overview on stress. Part two, an overview on change. Part three, the human rainbow. And part four will offer a simple, practical technology for you to take on and practice inside of your processes to help you to cope with stress, or hopefully to better cope with stress. Of course, those who are looking for a technology in this context. So let's move on to part one, which is an overview regarding stress. So stress, where to begin? Well, stress is the biggest global epidemic of our time, bigger than all other epidemics put together. And it's also a causer of many other epidemics, illnesses, disease. It is very deeply rooted within the 21st century. The planet is in stress, nature is stressed out, the human race is stressed out. And before continuing to open up the subject, and this will be done with simply a series of pointers, a series of awarenesses, which it will be very much up to you how you would then take it and put the pieces of the puzzle together. It is not at all aimed, there is also not the time within this podcast for a thorough explanation to really go deep into all the different dimensions of stress, but enough facts to hopefully encourage you into discovering more yourself. Because in my work, in my consulting work, one thing that I keep realizing time and again is that many of those who ought to have a better grasp of the subject actually don't, and sometimes to my surprise, because first of all, if you're leading you, and hopefully we are all leading ourselves, and especially if you're leading people, even if you do not consider yourself to suffer stress, it is important to understand what the kind of impact that stress has in the human system, because some of it is obvious, some not obvious at all. And it can translate into many forms of behavior and issues and maladies that often people and even doctors still do not know how to put the pieces together. And what is stress, if we would like to define it? Well, stress is overload, either sensory or energetic, which means that what we receive through our five senses, the whole combination of what we receive, or what we receive in terms of energies, signals coming our way, there is a certain point where a person's system, the body, cannot handle it, and it very much is an outcome, a product of a person's development. Some people can handle what is coming their way better than others. And so we are talking here about two levels of overload. One is sensory, what you perceive, what you are able to perceive. This famous question in many movies, can you handle the truth? To what degree can you handle the truth? How much of what is happening are you able to perceive? And the fact of the matter is that many decision makers are making big decisions from very small perceptions, untrained perceptions. And it is, again, a personal development issue. And an energetic overload, this is very much to do with how the body and the energetic systems of the human, because we have the physical aspect of ourselves and the energetic aspect of ourselves. The physical handles the physical, the energetic handles the energetic. They work together. And it's very much a question of quality and the quality of energies that we process. And when it becomes too coarse, then it begins to have an increasingly detrimental impact upon us, upon our well-being. And the way that, like, the Future Dynamics approach to handling stress is by dealing with the root causes, not by dealing with the symptoms. And most approaches to dealing with stress these days are through dealing with symptoms, diets, exercise, rest, meditation, and so on. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. However, to deal with stress properly, we need to understand the root of stress. And what is it that we can do to tangibly reduce the stress symptoms that we need to process? And so here is a question: what is the root of stress? How to deal with stress at fundamental level? And the way of it is by learning to use oneself in a better way. Because the problem that many of us are facing in dealing with life is because of the stresses and the pressures of living, we are caused to handle a lot with a little, which means with a, you could say, a shrunken aspects of ourselves or a narrow range from within our potentiality. And when we are trying to handle a lot with a little, stress comes about. And a very good analogy, which will be repeated later on in this podcast, is the difference between trying to lift a weight, a heavy weight, with two fingers as with lifting it with the whole body. And it's a very good analogy to stress being not being able to use oneself properly. And then there is stress that comes about at the level of perception and the stress that comes about at the physiological level. And when we are talking about human physiology, then at the heart of it lives homeostasis. And those of you who are not familiar with the term homeostasis, I would warmly recommend that you would Google it and study it a little bit. And homeostasis is about bringing the physiological processes of the body back into equilibrium whenever an effort is being exerted in any direction. And we're talking here about heart rate, water level, acid alkaline, CO2, oxygen, temperature, and so on and so on. The body that is governed by the brain, where homeostasis is concerned, constantly strives to bring itself back into balance. And it's a system that has a certain natural elasticity. And for where people are suffering prolonged stress, when they suffer stress factors that go beyond a certain factor, if you like, each person is unique and different. It's not all the same, but it crosses a certain unseen threshold. Then the system starts to lose its natural elasticity. And at some point, it really gets damaged to the point that it can even be irreversible. And this is where people begin to approach the burnout zone, which is one place that no one would want to be in, because stress burnout has got a serious impact into the body. It's very debilitating. And I know that some of you would know that from either personal experience or experience with people who are or have gone through a burnout. And then science has a term that where the human system kind of migrates into a different balance than its natural the balance of homeostasis, the natural equilibrium, and they call it allostasis, where the system then lives in an out-of-balance state for a long period of time. And the system, the human system, is very resilient. It can take it. But at some point, it starts to backfire. And if a person doesn't find a way back to its natural balance, then it either fast or slow or very suddenly, out of the blue, develops all sorts of illnesses and maladies. For many, it's literally a case of waking up and not being able to get out of bed one morning. It happens to many. And I've, in my own experience of dealing with these issues, I've come across this very often with people who just wake up one day, they cannot get out of bed. One of the impacts of stress is inflammation. And what is an inflammation at physiological level? These are chemical fires, nerve end chemical fires. And the most dangerous aspect of inflammation is when it starts to happen inside of the central nervous system in the brain itself, causing brain atrophy. And here we have the connection between stress factors and the onset of dementia. And science is still not making a clear connection between stress and dementia. They just know that there is a sharp rise in dementia, statistically speaking, and wondering why is that such a sharp rise? Well, there is a deep connection with stress. And here are some statistics, and big researchers say that 40% of the population are either close, touching, or right inside of the burnout zone in different stages. Or if not now, they will be at some point in their working life. 40% is a lot, and it doesn't really matter if this is an accurate number, 30, 40, 50, whatever, it's a lot. And you may be one of them. You certainly know people are one of them. So many of the young are suffering stress and anxiety. And while stress is overload, anxiety is the feeling of insecurity about the future, where you cannot predict and you cannot quite work out what is going to happen. You get anxiety in all sorts of scenarios and contexts. And younger people these days are suffering acute stress and uncertainty, and the current education system is not really very equipped to help them. And hopefully when we will reach the last bit in this transmission, this podcast, there may be some clue also relating to the world's education system. And concluding with another statistic, and they say, and this one is a really big research, that 87% of the workforce from around the world would rather not be there if they had an opportunity, a chance. That's a lot. And again, 87, whatever it is, most people would rather not be where they need to be today working. And of course, many of us are happy with our work and are leading constructive and fulfilling lives, but many are not. And again, if you're leading people, this is something that is important to be aware of. And there's so much that can be done about it to dramatically reduce this statistic in any workplace if the local leadership has this awareness on themselves, on a journey that equips them to handle this through the vectors of personal development. And one last thing about stress, which is that the human system is made to process high-quality fuels, high-quality energies. Humans are high being. We are spiritual beings. We are meant to be connected, and we are meant to engage and accommodate quality processes in our lives. However, when a person is overly exposed to stress and is unable to cope with it, and that leads to stress burnout. And burnout, energetically speaking, is that literally the higher qualities, energies that live in a person gets burnt out. But there is no such thing as vacuum. And what then happens is that the system replaces that vacuum with lesser and lesser and lower quality energies. So that leads to a scenario where a person then needs to invest much more in doing much less. And that increases and aggravates the issue, the problem, as many would testify who are suffering these maladies. So like we have inflammation, chemical fires physically, physiologically speaking, there's also inflammation, the equivalent chemical fires, and it's not that they're electric fires, at an emotional and mental level. This is what we are talking about. So these are just a few scattered facts, very condensed, regarding stress. And again, I would highly recommend you to educate yourself about the subject, because not only is it very relevant if you are in any form of leadership against self and people, but the trends are not diminishing where stress is concerned. Subject that we need to talk about in the context of coping with stress has got to be change, which is the greatest event in our life on the planet. And there's a profound change in progress, moving from an old epoch to a new epoch, from, we could say, the slow to the fast epoch, from a masculine to a feminine natured epoch. It is an energetic change at core, concerns new energies that are flowing, gushing into the planet, into the world, filling the human system. And we need to cope. It's like, by analogy, a car that is filled with a 10,000 octane fuel rather than 95 or 97. And we are like fish in a fishbowl. We are growing with it. We're so much in it that unless a person is not in the business of developing a certain kind of impartiality in perception and developing the perception skills, it would mostly be an unconscious and best semi-conscious event. And to make it more conscious, we need to be able to develop our perception capacity, observation capacity, and to create space to perceiving and observing and feeling and understanding the profundity, the depth of change and how radical it is. And it's just at its early beginning at this time. And we are in transition time. It's a transition between the old and a new epoch. Just to provide an analogy, and they are quite weak analogies, but nevertheless, analogies help, between, say, night and day. The difference between emerging from night to daytime, and there's this in-between twilight zone, in between the two, dawn and dusk, and we are at the dawn of a new time in a very real way. And it's going to become brighter and brighter and brighter. It's going to continue to accelerate because these energies are new, not used, of a different order. And the speeds of change is one thing that we need to cope with. And let's focus on speeds in the context of stress. What is your experience with speeds? As an example, the speed of communication, the speed of innovation, the innovation cycles, the creativity cycles, today in comparison to 5 or 10 years ago, the response is needed cycles today in comparison to 5 or 10 years ago. And we see that we need to cope with increasing speeds. And if a person is not in sync with the speed of a process, say in work, think for a moment about your experience in work, in projects, and the fact that you may work in a company that you would absolutely love working for. It's a great company, great leadership, and very considerate, where they pay lots of attention to the human factor, not just the performance dimension. However, this company is operating inside of the greater dimension of market dynamics. And the market is pretty merciless. It does what it does, and you either cope or you keep up with it or you don't keep up with it, because there is very fierce competition, because of globalization, and because where it comes to competition and who produces the best next smartphone, there's really not much space for consideration from one company to another, not much cooperation. It's a question of who comes out winning today. And so much of it is about speeds, which is one of the causes of stress burnout, lies in speeds and the inability to properly cope, handle speeds, especially when it comes to the fact that it's increasingly a non-linear experience. It's just every other day, it's a left field curveball coming your way that you need to handle. There is so much to say about the subject of change. It has so many levels. And one last thing to say here at this point, before we move to the next part, is one of our tasks, those of us who are interested in the realms of human development is to find ways to position ourselves at the higher end, at the higher end of the gradient of change, not to get stuck at the lower end, at the symptoms of it, but rather to discover through a developmental journey the location where a person is connected to the causes rather than the symptoms. It sounds maybe a bit daunting and profound. In reality, it is quite simple when a person is inside of the right kind of guidance, because we all need help where it comes to this journey. And the way of this journey is to be simple, and development, evolution, happen in tiny, tiny little steps. And this is how personal development happens. Tiny, tiny little steps. This is how we develop our perception every day in tiny little steps. It's a question of being on the journey. And once more, it's very much a question of being in the right guidance, having it, because it's not easy to do it on one's own. And it's not easy to get a black belt in Aikido on one's own. It's not easy to develop and be in a developmental journey to explore the deeper and greater and more profound realms of the human possibility without guidance. So here we are, a little bit about change, and we are now moving into the next part, which is to do with the human rainbow. Earlier in the podcast, it was said that the root cause of stress is in not knowing how to use oneself properly, pointing us to the realm, the wondrous, thrilling realms of the human rainbow, the human possibility, the human opportunity. And we probably have all been exposed in the course of our life to phrases such as the human has an unlimited potential. You can be anything that you want to be. But two questions live inside of this. Two questions, probably 1,000, but we're going to touch upon two. The first one is, what does this translate to? And what does it translate to in a way that I can do something useful and tangible with? And the first point to appreciate here is not so much, personally speaking, what can I do? How can I improve? What can I do better? Because we all want to improve and to be better, you know, doing all sorts of things. It's very natural. The human is a building site. It's a work in progress. We are still evolving. We are spiritual being on a journey of evolution and development. And obviously, and of course, very much is a matter of personal choice. But the starting point here is to appreciate and to gain a bit more access and insight into the natural human makeup. And the human design works and integrates two dimensions, the physical and the energetic, two domains, two worlds, the material worlds and the ethereal worlds. And the way these two come together and emerge and blend and mix and are married inside of the body that we occupy is just quite incredible. Because it's not fixed, it makes it possible for us to be on a developmental journey and to be able to develop so many different kinds of skills and capabilities. And from a fundamental design perspective, if you like, the human capability is spectrumized. It lives inside of a whole spectrum, a rainbow, and the rainbow is a very good analogy for it. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. There is even more to it, but we should leave it to this for now. And different qualities and different skills, capabilities, possibilities, and opportunities live in different parts of this spectrum. And the red end is very different to the violet end. Where it concerns the doing life of us, the performing life, where we can deliver, I can do and I can deliver and get results and build things and do things and create certain things. That's very much the red life, if you like. And then the diametrically opposed or the other end, the violet, is much more to do with something that is very new, that connecting to evolution, to the unknown, to what is happening now that has no definition, that cannot quite be clothed with language in the way that we can clothe with language the red. Developmentally, a person does not really transform in red like they can transform in violet. And the challenge that the world is facing is that because it is so hell-bent on results and outcome and power of a particular kind, it's mostly concentrated at the red end. And the red end has a gradient, different levels. And the higher levels of red are fantastic. We absolutely need them in our life. It's wonderful. But the low end of red is where wars and conflict and violence and cruelty and ethnic cleansing and all the terrible things that have gone on in the world for thousands of years. And at some point, when a person is too much in the red, or a group of people or a nation, they turn from being a human to being a robot, thus the term the Red Brigades. And we're not going to stay too much with that, because we are very much with the fulcrum, with the kind of work that we do, in the bright side, and very much in the way of think about the bright, know the dark, not the other way around. So the human rainbow, the spectrum way that the human is made, that the human system has been created, makes it possible for us to operate across a rainbow of possibility in a way that it's not just being either in the blue or in the orange or in the yellow. As an example, yellow is very much to do with developing qualities, with it anchors where human process, that like the home base of human process is in the yellow. You think about the blue is developing a gradient of capabilities to say yes and no in a refining way. That's one aspect of blue. If you research indigo, it's very interesting because throughout the millennia, throughout history, indigo is associated with royalty. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. Indigo is very much connected to different expressions of royalty, different parts in the world. And it's not that they communicated and said, hey, shall we all wear indigo? No, it's because when humans are in that kind of process, then indigo is part of that process, literally in an energetic way. And why is it that green is so much associated with growth and with vitality and with healing? And yes, green is very much a color that is to do with renewal. And different colors, if you like, and different domains, and it's not that they're singular, because part of a developing capacity is how they mix and merge, and a bit of this and a bit of that, and different skills that live in different levels come together, and different theaters, different roles. And especially when they lend themselves to the kind of process that is evolving, that is open-ended, that is not fixing upon a person, but rather liberating and freeing humans to be your own tool maker and to be creative inside of one's own life in the context of qualities, as an example. How the quality of wisdom or patience or finesse or courage or persistence, how they evolve and develop, especially at a time where there is a wide open window of opportunity for humans to evolve and change and develop. And this is where there's a certain saying that is very much related to stress, but is being used in all sorts of other contexts, which is, if you only have a hammer, you treat everything else like a nail. And yes, if you're walking from situation to situation in life with a hammer, so to speak, or using another term, you're a bit of a one-act pony, and any situation that you meet with a one act. As an example, what can be in that one act? Well, many who are not properly educated in the skills and arts of response overuse their emotions to the point of emotional burnout, which lives inside of the bigger worlds of stress burnout. And it's one of the worst things that can happen to a person is an emotional burnout, because emotions are precious energy. And when a person suffers that burnout, like what was said before, the body, the system, tries to replenish those energies, ends up doing it with lesser energies, and a person ends up with all sorts of ailments. So when we are looking at stress and the human rainbow and the rainbow capability of the human, it very much is in the context of learning to not just perceive what a situation really needs, but learning to become what the situation needs. And here we are talking about roles. And it is said, life is like a stage and we are but the players. And yes, life is so much like a stage and we are so much like players, but what range of acts have we got? Because if we only have one act, we will suffer far greater stress symptoms than if we have a range of acts, because when we are able to adapt and to, if you like, change outfits, change hats, move from one set of inner formations to another set of inner formations, we are able to become and be a much more effective person, human, leader, manager, family person, friend, professional, sailor, whatever. And this is where the 10 actors methodology comes in, which is one of the most unique and I would say precious technologies and insights that are being provided by Future Dynamics. And many of you, I know, have been through these processes. They are known to have literally at times saved careers and lives in the sense of helping people to find out, to locate themselves in a deeper way, in the real love affair with life, with what they really want. It's an incredible technology, and I would very much recommend that if you want to gift your team and yourself with a process and a tool that helps people to become more effective humans, and through that, by being more effective, learning to cope with stress in a much better way, because it's not possible for us to completely rid ourselves of stress, but it is absolutely possible to reduce the stress levels, to prevent burnout and prevent being debilitated by stress, and increasing our effectiveness. And the technology that we are really talking about is about becoming a far more versatile, a free human, where one sets oneself free to operate across the whole range of the rainbow rather than being arrested at one or two aspects of it. This is, of course, a lifelong journey, but you can always begin, because we are always a mind click away from setting ourselves free to engage in processes that brings us enhancement and improvement and development and make a difference to our lives and to the lives of others. So this is a little bit about the human rainbow in the context of stress, but also in the context of human development, because the core of the work that we do is addressing the currency of the human possibility, which leads us to the last part. In the last part, we're going to go through a very simple task and exercise, if you are interested, to take away with you and to practice in both the context of stress, but also in the bigger worlds of human development. So we are now moving on into the last part in this podcast, which is touching upon roles, which is, again, another really big and fascinating territory inside of the universe of human development, and in a context of coping with stress. Coping with situations that life throws at us on a daily basis. And if you look at your life, the daily life, you know that it's just every day we encounter all sorts of scenarios, some of which we can predict, some not. Some which are easy to cope with, some which leaves us a little bit gasping for air. How do I deal with this? And it's not something that we can plan so much, because there is the linear and the nonlinear. And the thing with change, and the one thing that to bear in mind about change, about life, is that it is increasingly a nonlinear event. Change is increasingly a nonlinear event. It's not that A leads to B, leads to C, leads to D, not at all. It's A leads to a new unknown, which leads to another unknown, which then you think you can just about maybe work out what's happening, and something else happens that you didn't even think is possible. And it's great when we are in a place in ourselves that can handle it, because, again, humans are made to handle change. Humans are nonlinear, actually, in the way that we are made. We are not made in a linear way, if you think for a moment, about how the emotions, the instincts, the mind, the habit life of a person, the way the brain works. Let's throw a gut feeling and extrasensory perception into the pot, how they all come together. It's very nonlinear. And they are designed to deal both with the linear worlds, because it's at one level we need to be able to plan, to execute upon a plan, absolutely. But at another level, we need to completely abandon the planning mindset and to create space for evolution. And evolution is not a nonlinear event. It's not a carry-on from yesterday. I personally find it an absolutely fascinating journey. I know many of you do from many conversations and processes. So how do roles come in into the pot and the realm of coping with stress? Well, if you only have a hammer, you treat everything else like a nail. But if you are able to step in and out of many roles, then you can be what a situation needs you to be. Now, a father, a mother, a brother or sister, a boss, a manager, a leader, a CEO, a captain of a team, a friend, a colleague. These are all roles, actually, that we step into. And when we step into the family man mindset, it's a very different mindset than when we step into the manager's mindset. Hopefully different. Some people sometimes a little bit miss out, I think, because they need to manage so much, to the point that it comes out over dinner with the family, but it's a question of self-awareness. And the exercise here is to go through a fresh review of the roles that are present in your life and to think, do I need to develop new roles? Now, it's all naturally residing in the human system. Every role that has been present in history lives in us in some way. Both the high and the low, and part of a developmental journey is to refine so as to increasingly freeze out all those parts that are either irrelevant or the ones that we want to nothing to do with, and to grow the parts in us, the formations, the lives that belong to the future, that with which we create space for the future. For us, and if we are leading and helping other people, also in helping others create that space. So what role do you need to develop to cope with different situations? And you may say, is there such a thing as a master role? And in a way, yes. In a way, yes. And this is something that we go into in a much deeper way in the process of assimilating the 10 actors methodology. But if you like, the master role is developing the ability to perceive what is happening, which is the first task of a leader of self and others. So that when one makes decisions and makes choices, it's based on the perception of more of what is happening, of the truth of more of what is happening, rather than a small segment of it. And in that, the greatest developmental task is to develop impartiality so that we are not partial in our perception. We are not colored in our perception. And developing impartiality is a wondrous and quite a challenging and demanding developmental journey, and a very, very rewarding one as well. So I shall leave you with this little task of what am I perceiving? What am I seeing? What is happening? How much of what is happening am I actually perceiving? What is the story, and with the many overlays of what is happening, how much of the story lives in my mind? And what does it call for? What is needed? And as you know, those who have been engaged in the leadership development processes, the Future Dynamics is delivering over the years, you know that these questions live at the heart of this process for many years. So I shall leave you with that for now. And once more, encourage you to get in touch if you feel that a 10 Actors methodology workshop may fit and may help you and your team. And until next, the next podcast, and there is actually one in the pipeline, which is a conversation regarding another developmental technology, which is to do with the connection cards and developing qualities that is very much connected to what we are talking about today. So hopefully you found this useful, and I'm very much looking forward to your feedback.